Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew. From our Providence, Rhode Island studios, I sit down with former Warwick, Rhode Island mayor and the current CEO of the Rhode Island Public Transit Authority, Scott Avedisian. Scott Avedisian is well known to Rhode Islanders, having served as mayor of Warwick since the year 2000, where he oversaw massive projects like the TF Green Airport runway expansion and the preservation of publicly accessible coastal land at the former site of Rocky Point Park. In April 2018, Avedisian surprised many when he announced he would be stepping down as mayor of Warwick to accept Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo's recommendation that he become CEO of RIPTA. Now, just days into his new role as CEO of RIPTA, Mr. Avedisian sat down with the Bartholomew Town Podcast for an in-depth discussion about the future of transit within and surrounding the state of Rhode Island. Our conversation touched on implementing new fare technologies, linking existing transit services around the region, and how rideshare services like Lyft can inform public transit architects.
You're only on the job for about a week now in this capacity.
Two weeks. End of my my second week. Fortunately, I was on the board and chairman of the board before, so I had some background in the agency. And because of that background, it's why I agreed to do this, because I think transit is such an important link to getting a first-class economy. And we can't have a first-class economy in this state unless we get people to work. And we can't be thinking of RIPTA as anything but part of the total overall solution to reinvigorating the economy.
Absolutely. And prior to this, you were a longtime mayor of Warwick, Rhode Island, which, right, those of you outside the listening area, was the second largest city in the state up until recently. I think Cranston now is. That has to do with airport,
right,
zoning and things of this sort, right?
There were a number of homes that came down over the last decade in order to allow the airport to expand. I know that the mayor now in Warwick is also working on a whole redevelopment plan for city center, that whole area around the airport, looking at, much like we were talking about and what's happened in Brooklyn, in the whole use of reuse of property that previously might have been warehouse that is now becoming hotel, office space, condos, lofts, a mix of everything. Because once the train station to the MBTA service to Boston went to Warwick Station, you can buy a lot more house for your buck here than you can on the North Shore of Boston. So we're seeing a big influx of people now looking for some kind of rental property over there. So I think the population will probably go back and forth for years between the two cities, because we're about the same size and we're pretty much fully developed, so it's going to be infill and reuse.
As far as your experience as mayor, just what would your summary be? Obviously, it was quite a long period of time, but how would you summarize that experience for you?
Great experience. 18 and a half years running a city through expansion of an airport, through the creation of City Center Warwick, the preservation of 121 acres at Rocky Point, including a full mile of oceanfront coastline for people, for everyone to be able to enjoy, and not just a few who would be able to afford to buy that property. So yeah, there were a lot of really good projects in those 18 and a half years, and loved virtually every moment of being there.
Also, the aspect of being a mayor, we've had Lieutenant Governor McKee on, long-time mayor, and he sort of described himself as mayor of the state now. He still thinks, just in terms of how he interacts with communities, do you feel like there's a special relationship between a city's constituents and their mayor?
Well, it's very personal. It is not, you know, as though it's some elected official that you never see and you never get to talk to and you don't touch. Even today, we were walking in Kennedy Plaza, working with the Providence Foundation on different things and different ideas as to what we can do. And, you know, constituents came up to hug me and say, you know, good luck in your new job and, you know, thank you for all your work. And, you know, you build a bond with people when you're in office that long. And especially mayors are the people who fill potholes, get your trash picked up, plow the streets, and make sure that the police and fire arrive when you need them in an emergency. So it becomes a very personal relationship,
right?
Almost transactional, that they see you as the person who delivers the service when they need it.
Right. It's almost what all levels of government ought to be in a way, you know what I mean? That sort of personal attention, or at least the relationship seems
right.
like it's directly between constituent and public servant.
I think a lot of times what happens is if you call somebody for a pothole, they'll say, oh, that's a city issue. You really need to call the mayor's office. And when you solve it, that builds that relationship. So people really look at it as a very personal thing. It's not like, well, let me write a letter to them and see if they will take care of it. It becomes very intimate in the way that people deal with one another.
Absolutely. I feel like in the sea of characters in Rhode Island politics, when it was announced that you were going to take over RIPTA, just on talk radio, places like that, it was, the sentiment was really positive. It felt like it was a break from the typical bashing that occurs, and more of like, hey, this is a positive thing, because we're getting a, like you say, a great one-on-one results-oriented person to take over this important job. So,
well, that's really kind. But like last Friday morning, I went to work at RIPTA at 4:30 in the morning, so I could be there when the bus drivers were getting on the buses to go out for their first routes of the day. That's the type of, you know, relationship you can build with people who say, you know, he actually wants to know what we do. He wants to know what's happening. Tomorrow I'm going to go down and see our employees at the Gateway Center in Newport, just to make sure that they don't feel forgotten. You know, they are an outpost, you know, from where we are here on Elmwood Ave. But it's very important that we are all working as a team.
Yeah, and that Gateway Center looks good, by the way.
Fantastic.
New paints and everything, the blue, good choice, just the right vibe when you walk down there.
You know, there were some good things that happen when you have a disaster, and that was the aftermath of Sandy. Superstorm Sandy really affected the Gateway Center as well, and we were able to get some federal redevelopment dollars to turn that into the showcase it is now.
Right. It's amazing what landscaping and color scheme of a sign will do to an area.
And a fresh coat of paint and, you know, some new investment, and people feel good about it. You know, when we wrap a bus, right, you have a brand new promotion that we're going to do, and we're going to talk about some of them in a minute. When we do a brand new promotion, you wrap a bus differently, people are excited about it. You know,
right.
It's like, you know, Christmas morning, you open that package and there's a brand new toy truck, and you just can't wait because it's shiny and bright and new, and you're invested in it. And that's what we're trying to do with our services as well.
Well, let's get right to that. Let's talk about some of the things you want to do, you
sure.
know, some of the protocols you want to break or implement here in 2018 and beyond with RIPTA.
I won't say there's anything we're going to break, because I think we have the good bones of a system out there already. I think what we need to do is encourage ridership of choice. So if you work downtown, we need to make sure that the bus is going to pick you up on time and get you to where you need to be on time so you can go to work and not worry that you're going to be late and there's going to be problems. We need to be efficient and effective and get you and deliver you at an appropriate time. To do that, we may need to tweak some routes, and we may need to say this route isn't moving anybody, so we're going to deploy those resources to routes where we're moving lots of people. A few years ago, we did the R line, which is the rapid line that's moving people on high frequency on a regular basis. You have real confidence then that you can tell your employer, I will be in tomorrow morning for 8 a.m. because I will now make that meeting and not come in at 8:20 and say the bus was late. So we have to make sure that we are moving people in a way in which they can go do their jobs. Secondly, courteous. Right? You have a totally different feel when you walk onto a bus and everyone's upbeat. So our guys do a great job and girls do a great job cleaning the buses and getting them ready for the day. We're going to continue that. That's going to be a priority. When you walk onto that bus, I want you to have a good experience. Third, we're working on new fare technology, so it's going to be easy. We are beta testing some apps right now. So you'll be able to buy a fare card that you can reload, that you won't have to go and get paper tickets, and you won't have to try to, you know, get your money into the fare box. We'd love for people to buy all of their fare products at a kiosk or online. So the only thing you do is walk up with your phone, you tap it, you move quicker boarding. So if everybody waiting has the money that they need to put in the machine, it's going to take a lot longer. Everyone walks down with the app. You're going to sit down, you're going to board, sit down, move, and get to work on time. Plus, we need to be using smart technology in a really effective and efficient way to be able to use that as well.
Right. Also, maybe a heads up if the bus is delayed, a notification or something like that.
We do have an app already that you can go online and you can say, where's my bus, and find out where the bus is and find out why it's late. And it could be there's an accident, and it's helpful. People have a very different reaction. Right. If you hear, oh, there was an accident in 95, so the express bus from Westerly is going to be late. You can understand that.
Right.
When you have no idea why they're late and you're waiting, that's a different – so we're trying to do real time and show you if you're going to be in Kennedy Plaza, show you the times that the buses are going to get there so that you're not wondering whether or not you're going to be late for your appointment, especially for some of our riders who are taking the bus to doctor's appointments and dentist appointments and saying, am I going to miss my appointment? Give you some real-time information so that you can call the doctor's office and say, I'm going to be about 15 minutes late because the bus is going to be late. There was an accident on Reservoir Ave or whatever.
Right. And that's the RIPTA app. Is that how you would search for it?
Our new site, so it's RIPTA.com, and it will configure to your phone, where's my bus?
Right.
And also Transit app. Just Transit is the name of the app. It's available in the iStore and also the Google Play Store.
But we'll link to those as well in the description of this podcast.
But we really like people to use the Where's My Bus, so you can locate your exact bus. So if you are traveling anywhere and you use the big, the blue airport shuttle, super shuttle service, they will show you a map and show you where your bus is to come get you so that you know how long you're going to be waiting before the shuttle's there to take you to the airport.
Sure.
That's the same thing we want to create.
Very interesting.
That great linkage to say, oh, they're right around the corner. Let me go outside the hotel so I'm ready to go and I don't have to make everybody wait for me.
Right. And that's already in development or it's just...
No, it's already
exists.
Going.
We're rolling totally. Yep. So just now it's awareness, basically.
So now we want to build people who will be using that app. And the whole thing is to make sure that if you have a smartphone or if you're on your desktop computer or you want to go and buy your brother or sister a birthday present and you want to reload their card so that they can ride for a month for free, we want to make it so that the technology is there so that you can do that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
So that people could say, my biggest detriment to getting to work every day is buying my bus pass. So you can help contribute to that. We're working out some different things on people who have subsidies to ride the bus that we can preload all the different agencies that help provide them service so that they can tap the card as well. The other thing we're working on is a capping out. So in many big transit systems, and we're a medium-sized transit system, but in many big transit systems, you buy a pass and say you take 5 trains a day. Once you hit a certain amount, there's no more deducted from your pass.
Yes.
So what we're doing, especially in the downtown transit corridor, saying we want you to ride all the time with us. So we want it to be convenient and efficient. So you're not going to have to pay each time. When you cap out, you'll still be able to take the bus.
That's very cool. I mean, that definitely encourages real deal ridership. Not to mention, you can put a bike on most of these buses,
right.
And
every
bus has that. Yeah,
and we're also diversifying our fleet. So if we see that there's an entity that needs to move 5 people, and they're all going to the same place, we can have a smaller van go out. So we've been diversifying. So instead of always a 16-passenger van, we just bought some new smaller vans. So we're not going to be using the fuel and the wear and tear on the larger van. We can send a smaller one that's more suited to fit the needs of that community who need to be moved.
What about working with rideshare partners like Lyft or Uber and transit hubs that might integrate with them, or any is there any dialogue with those organizations?
There's discussion, and one of the things that we're considering is if there's a client that needs to be moved from point A to point B, and it's going to be really cost ineffective for us to send a driver all the way out to get someone to go here and wait while they're done, we might be able to partner with Uber or Lyft to send one of their drivers, because in the meantime, while that person's at the doctor's office. They might be able to pick up routes in the area where people, other people are looking for a ride. So we're having those discussions to see how we can partner, how we might be able to partner with them to make it better.
Not, I don't want to throw a number, you know, or put you on the spot for a specific number, but roughly, what's the percentage of riders who are using special services like maybe the capital RI, lowercase DE, the ride services, or any sort of, well, you know, specialized ridership,
we,
I guess.
We move about 16.5 million people a year. Now, granted, we move some people every day. So you got to, you know, that's right. Not an overall, there aren't 60 million people taking our bus or our van or our trolley. But you probably have the better numbers, but we're probably about 40% have some kind of subsidy at some point during the year, depending on, it could be a veteran going to the VA, it could be someone who's a client of one of the developmental disability centers, could be someone who is a Medicare, Medicaid patient going to the doctor's visits. We might be moving people to the senior center or to adult senior services. Or so we have a whole bunch of different programs, but I would bet it's about 40-45% of people at some point during the year will use some kind of service that would be compensated for.
Yeah, about 6.8 million trips of that 16.5 were persons who have a transportation subsidy or a Medicaid or on our free bus pass program. And then the ride program, we'd have to get the exact numbers because it's a smaller population, but it's a high-use population because they are not able to use the fixed-route bus, so that is their only.
One other point on these, the new fare cards that we're hoping to roll out and that we're beta testing now. One of the good things about it is if I hand you your card, the new technology, you'll be able to go on there and put your name and your address and your contact information with the number that's on there. That gets stored in the cloud. Mm-hmm. You lose your card. Right now, you lose your card, it's gone.
Back to square one, yeah.
You go on and you put your name. We can then look at the balance of your card and put that on a new card for you. Mm-hmm. So for many people, you lose a card, you lose your transportation, or you got to pay for it again. We want to figure out a way, and that's why our team has really been looking at how do we make this user-friendly. And you lose your card, we can't have it be that you lose your ride as well. So I think that's going to be a good value-added program for a lot of the people who ride the bus and give them some sense of security and safety that if something goes wrong, they're not going to be out of transportation as well.
For sure. What would you say, or I guess a lot of this stuff, what you've thrown out there is sort of trying to change a culture of that's not for a large portion of the population. Certainly, I just drove from Charlestown to Providence, or from Providence to Charlestown and back, and it took way too long, as it usually does, because of traffic. Right. But how do you convert people to a public transit oriented community if they're used to being in their cars and used to the traffic at this point, quote unquote?
It's going to be a good experience because you're not going to do it a second time if it's a bad experience.
Right.
Two, it has to be clean. It has to be efficient and effective. Three, if we could cut down on the number, and this is ironic from my previous role of trying to lure businesses to Warwick, and one of the things I used to use to lure them to Warwick was there are no parking meters in the city of Warwick. There's plenty of on-street parking. There's plenty of – it's ample surface parking all over the city, yeah, and blah, 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 blah. When there isn't available parking and you have to pay for it, people will start riding the bus more. So what we're trying to do is also create some concierge bus service. So maybe it's a bigger bus. Maybe the seats are a little more comfortable. Maybe there's Wi-Fi. Maybe there's cup holders. And we're doing some studies on, are there enough people that we could amalgamate, say, at the Towers in Narragansett who would take that kind of a bus service so that they can work all the way to work and then take it home? If there are, then we'll be looking at putting that kind of service in. We've been talking, you know, we partnered with RIDOT on the air show. So you took the train from Warwick Station and from Providence Station down to Wickford Junction, and then our bus brought you over to the air show. You do things like that, or we start doing service to Paw Sox home games. people, once people start riding and we get them, you're going to keep them because it's pretty convenient. It's getting them into the bus for the first time and making sure and ensuring that they have a good experience. But there's also this whole mentality in Rhode Island of, I'm also the president of the Community College of Rhode Island's Foundation Board, and we run the same thing. People have a negative view of RIPTA, and they still call the Community College reject. You know, it started as Rhode Island Junior College. That's pretty difficult to overcome, being called reject. Do you really want to go to a school called reject? So the community college has been rebranding and talking about, you know, we are the Community College of Rhode Island, and, you know, trying to invest in our campuses. We need to do the same thing at RIPTA and convince people that it is the preferred way to move people. Now, I think the downtown transit corridor is going to do wonders for us, for people who work downtown who say, I'm not going to move my car to go to this meeting. I'm not going to move my car to go to lunch. I'm going to be able to, there's 10 stops. I'm going to be able to move quickly all throughout the city. I'll get all my errands done. And we're hopeful also that it will be much more helpful for people who live downtown. One of the complaints I get from people who live in any of the apartments downtown is that it's very difficult grocery shopping. You know, you used to go once a week and buy everything you needed. People now go every day because you don't want to carry 25 bags up 4 flights of stairs. So
I can relate to that as a New Yorker, no doubt about it.
So if you have all these stops, we'll get you from the supermarket home so that you can do that without having to cart all those in a cab or whatever. So we're looking at some changes systematically and systemically. That's what we need to do. In order to prepare for the next generation of riders. And, you know, we know, I met with a group of young people who were adamant. They don't want a car. Absolutely do not want a car. And one young woman looked at me and said, listen, besides your house, that's your biggest asset. You pay to buy it, insure it, fuel it, maintain it. I said, yes. And she said, and it sits in the parking lot of your office for 8 hours a day, and it sits in the driveway of your house for 8 hours at night. I choose to use my money not that way, but to go and do things that I want to do. And if I need a car, I'll go get a Zipcar for a couple of days. If I need to, you know, drive to a wedding in, you know, rural Pennsylvania, I'll rent a car. I don't want all those extra added expenses. I would rather use my money to go do things that I want to do. And so we need to be ready for the changing demographic as well and figure out a way to capture and grab those riders and keep them.
Absolutely. One thing from my experience being here in Elmwood now for, you know, 6 months or whatever, my wife goes to RISD and Brown and figured because there's a bus stop right out here, it'd be really simple for her to just hop on the bus. But it's almost 45 minutes to get her each direction out here. So I feel like parts of South Providence and Elmwood they're already enormously disconnected for a whole slew of reasons. But that's one element that, you know, I see personally could improve, is that to the outer portions of Providence to the downtown.
And as we continue to do innovations like the R line. So part of the goal is we looked at what is the route that is most traveled every day. Where are we moving the largest number of people? And what corridor is that? What do we do then to make sure that our largest number of riders are being served well? And so when you make improvements to that line where you're not waiting more than 5 minutes between buses, you see ridership increasing even more. So now we need to look at where are the other connections that we need to be. And another one would be we get people to Quonset Point pretty well. But that's a long walk from Route 1 into the park to whatever your business is. How are we going to move people internally on that property so that you can get to work on time?
Right.
So one of our other projects is going to be setting up some kind of internal Quonset transportation plan so that you can know, take RIPTA down to Quonset, and then we will move you to your business. When you do that, you can pick up a lot of ridership there, too. Think about it. A lot of people now have one family car, you know, one car families again. Think about the ease of knowing that you don't have to worry about getting to work. So you can take the car and do whatever you need to do all day. makes it a lot easier, and we want to be part of that solution, and we really want people to see us as part of that solution.
Yeah, it would certainly change my life personally. We have one vehicle, and yeah, it, other than biking, or maybe you hop on the ferry to go to Newport once in a while or whatever it is, to be realistic for long-term or long-distance travel, it's not the easiest thing to use Ripta all the time. Right. You know, so it's exciting to hear.
Well, especially
these ideas.
From Charleston.
Well, definitely from
right.
Charleston.
So,
yeah.
one of the things that we've talked about is the partnership between DOT and RIPTA on the ferry system. So, you know, ferries don't operate like streetcars. They depend a lot on weather and a lot on wind and where are they and are they covering enough ground? Are they going to be late? And working out the issue between the ferry letting our bus know when they're going to be arriving, we're going to use that extra time to try to figure out how we move other people in the same area. That's the type of creative thinking and creative thought process that will well position RIPTA for the next generation.
One last area of question, I guess interstate transportation is something that for me, it always been a struggle living in New York, trying to come home. I would take the Metro north to New Haven and then jump on the Shoreline East to New London, then Amtrak. And it would just be this whole thing, or my dad would pick me up in New Haven. Yep. It would just be a real drag to the point where I got a vehicle to navigate. One time I was with my wife and we saw the Acela. She's from Brazil. She's not from the U.S. So first time she saw the Acela race by, I was like, oh, you know, there's the Acela. That's how you do it. Once we're established, once things are good, we'll just take that. She was stunned. She was like, why is that not just the train? And why doesn't it cost like $20 a person to go to New York from Providence? So how far are we in just, I know it's not your responsibility, but in your judgment, how far are we from having that level of interstate
connectivity? Well, we had a discussion the other day about rebooting New England and reconnecting. How do we get everyone together? We've got great opportunities here with the Northeast Corridor. We have MBTA system. The service is pretty good.
Yep.
Right, and they're one of the leaders in the country. Metro North is really good. Now, maybe there's a way that Metro North can come further up. And so you almost have commuter rail, even if it's not Amtrak, in many of our stations. When you talk about the whole New Haven experience, when I was the head of the Episcopal Diocese, and I used to have to go down to meetings in New York, it was easier and more convenient. And, of course, that's what it's all about. It's convenience, right? It was convenient for me to drive to New Haven and leave the car.
Yep.
Because there's a train out of Grand Central or Grand Central I would go out of.
Yes.
There's at least every half hour I can be on the next train. So if I'm running a few minutes late, I only have a little bit of time. Go grab a cup of coffee, read the paper, jump on the next train and go. If I try to do Amtrak out of Kingston, I would have to leave early on Sunday morning,
right?
Or I'd have to wait until like 6:30 at night.
Right.
And so obviously on a Sunday, if I'm there on church business, they're kind of expecting that you're going to have worship too, right?
Right.
So
right.
That would mean leaving at 6, not getting to Kingston until 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then driving up from Kingston. It was easier to be able to go to New Haven and know that every 25, 30 minutes, and especially if there's an express train, I was there in no time whatsoever, in the car and home, really easy. So we need that regional linkage that is going to allow people to move from, it could be, from train to commuter rail to bus, to the airport.
To ferry,
to
whatever
get, yeah,
is,
to make
right?
it all work. So one of the things, and we've been brainstorming a lot in the couple weeks that I've been there. Wouldn't it be great if we could figure out a way that this reloadable fare card that we're coming up with, if you use that on the MBTA, MBTA will be able to take their portion of the money off of your card. Right? So you don't need multiple cards. You don't need multiple sources of getting your fare paid. You have the same card. You use it. We figure it all out, just like we're trying to do with the colleges and universities on a UPass program or a University Pass program.
It's like an EasyPass technology,
right.
Basically.
Exactly. And that's the technology that we're using, just like your transponder in your car. The money comes out. It doesn't matter if it's the New York Thruway. It doesn't matter if it's the Boston toll system, the Mass Pike, or one of our bridges. You'll be able to do that, and there'll be sharing of information all the way through. Yep. For us, one, it's safer if we have no money on the bus. right? Always safer. When if you can do cashless transactions, makes life a lot easier for everybody. Two, you don't have to have an MBTA card, a RIPTA card, or Amtrak card, or whatever. So we're trying to figure out a way that there is easy access to use one card all the way through. And the colleges and universities have really helped us with that research and helped us with those advances, because we're coding in an ability for you to have your student ID also serve as your bus pass. When you can start having that connectivity, that makes it really easy and really good for everybody.
Right, and it seems like the norm then, because it's
right.
You're using your ID. Everyone uses the ID for food transactions,
sure.
Or whatever it is as a student, I'm saying. You know,
so when I was in high school and down in Washington, D.C., you would have never thought of having a car. The Metro was... That was your mode of transportation. You never thought about anything else. And they were one of the first to have reloadable cards and reloadable fare products and not having to buy a ticket every time you wanted to go somewhere and doing zone travel so that it would deduct the amount of money. If you were going out to Woodley Park, it would be 20 cents more than if I got off at Farragut North. That technology already exists. It's time for us to start using that technology into the future.
Well, that's great to hear from my perspective. I'm sure our listeners will agree. One last question, 30-second answer. I know we're up against the clock here. You seem like someone who loves Rhode Island. Do you have a hope that Rhode Island is going to start to attract more young people, keep ideas here, and do you feel like we're heading in the right direction, I guess?
I think, first of all, there's a sense of optimism. We have world-class institutions with Brown University, Providence College, Johnson & Wales, RISD, our state universities and colleges. We just need to start speaking positively about what our attributes are and not settle for second best, because we already have some incredibly effective programs here, and now we just need to tout them better.
Hey, thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening platform. You may also find us at BartholomewTown.com or RIPodcast.com. Hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Scott Avedisian. Until next time, thanks for visiting Bartholomew Town. We'll talk soon.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.